The Lord be with you.
With your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "You have heard it said of old, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, offer no resistance to one who is evil. When someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other one as well. If anyone wants to go to law with you over your tunic, hand over your coat as well. Should anyone press you into service for 1 mile, go for 2 miles. Give to the one who asks of you, and do not turn your back on the one who wants to borrow. You have heard it said, 'You shall love your neighbor but hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your heavenly Father. For he makes the sun rise on the bad and the good alike. He causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what recompense do you expect? Do not tax collectors do as much? And if you greet your brothers and sisters only, what is unusual about that? Do not pagans do as much? And so be perfect, just as your heavenly Father is perfect." The Gospel of the Lord. This gospel text is a continuation of our gospels for the last few Sundays, and next Sunday will be the last Sunday before Lent. We'll also read some of the text from the Sermon on the Mount. You'll remember that collection of homilies that Jesus gave, and Matthew in 3 chapters 5, 6, and 7 collects all of these homilies into one section of the gospel we call the Sermon on the Mount. It's reaching back here into the book of Leviticus and the book of Deuteronomy, way back in the Torah. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. This is called the Lex Talionis. Back there in the book of Leviticus, it is meant to restrain a response to injury. If you kill one of mine, I may not kill 10 of yours. One eye for one eye. You have heard it said of old, but I say different. I say to you, do no injury at all. When somebody strikes you on the right cheek, and if you study this, that is an insult, especially because it's with the back of the hand. Turn the other cheek. You have heard it said of old, love your neighbor but hate your enemy. I say to you, love your enemies. When somebody puts you into service for 1 mile, go the extra mile. You remember in the road to Golgotha, in Jesus' journey, they pressed Simon of Cyrene into service to carry the cross. Because the Romans could press a person into service. If they press you for 1 mile, go the extra mile. Somebody takes your cloak, give them the shirt off your back. This is a new law. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. If you read Luke chapter 6, where the parallel is to be found, it says, be merciful as your Father is merciful. Matthew says perfect, but the Greek is teleos, which means whole, be complete, be mature, be truthful, be real. That's the meaning of this term. Perfect is not a good translation. It means something about wholeness. And this is the new law. And the new law is meant to reflect the lawgiver. And therefore, when we think about the true God, this new law reflects the embrace, the understanding, the presence of the true God revealed in Jesus Christ. So what does this mean to us? I won't have a chance to preach next Sunday because I'll be traveling. So I'll be back the first week of Lent, 2 Sundays from now. But I want to look at the entire Sermon on the Mount and begin to draw some interpretation of this that might have meaning to us in our own everyday life. Social commentators have told us that there is a renewed interest in reading utopian and dystopian literature in the present age, especially amongst young people. Utopian meaning the ideal future. The lion and the lamb will lay down together, there will be harmony, the utopian, ideal. Dystopian means foreboding, the future, darkness, conflict, discouragement, chaos into the future, dystopian. We can go back, and somebody recently told me they're reading again The City of God. St. Augustine, written in the beginning of the 5th century, a commentary on the fall of the empire, an interpretation why the empire really was corrupt and why the empire collapsed. The 21st chapter, the last book of the Bible, has this notion of a new Jerusalem where all people of goodwill will be welcome. The gates of Jerusalem will be open and all who come will be welcomed. Utopian, this is a wonderful new age. When you get into dystopian literature, we're reading things like The Giver and Divergent and these complicated, discouraging, chaotic future when we're looking into the future. There's a great yearning today for some ideals. We're short of ideals. People are discouraged. We're trying to cling to things that will somehow give us hope looking into the future. It doesn't matter what our discourse in the public places are, we're all yearning for some order, some harmony, some sense of honor, some sense of hospitality, understanding, forgiveness, patience, the ideals of the gospel will lead us. So I came upon this sweeping understanding of the Sermon on the Mount. It's an overview, it's a large canvas. And I want to look at it this way. In my imagination, I thought about this enclosure, a social or ecclesial enclosure. And those inside, they're safe, but they're not free. Those outside the enclosure, they're not safe, but they're free. What does this mean? It means those inside the enclosure are legalistic, they're observant, they're fearful. They have an obsessive guilt. They don't go the extra mile. They just fulfill the law. There's a certitude about being inside. If you object, they throw you out. So stay inside and be observant. Follow all the rules. You have to qualify. You must merit. And there's a certain guarantee about it. I mean, if you do all these things right, you will get the ultimate reward. You don't have to love your enemies. You have to love those inside the enclosure. You don't have to turn the other cheek. You can believe in vengeance where it's justified. That's inside. Outside the enclosure, that's where the prophets live. That's where imagination flourishes. And all those who lead us to a place of imagination, a place of wholeness, a place led by ideals, are somehow beyond the parameters of the enclosure. Mother Teresa, who spent almost 20 years in the convent of the Loreto Sisters in Calcutta teaching an upper-class school, said that's the enclosure. She broke out of the enclosure. She'd say, I'll risk, I'll take a chance, I'll be led by ideals, I'll go out and do something that doesn't fit the enclosure. Mandela had to step out into the public, and the destiny of a prophet is to be persecuted. That's the destiny of the prophet. Martin Luther King somehow stepped out of the mainstream and said, there is a new world. I have a dream, he said. Gandhi stepped out of the enclosure and said, I will be led by the power which is within, not the power which surrounds. Think about that. The sense of imagination, how God is revealed in the freedom of being whole, teleos, completely human, marvelously forgiving, and understanding, not a judgment. You don't have to qualify, you just have to be, and the love of God will embrace you. You are the one who insults, but God is the one who forgives. We are the ones who are selfish. God is the one who is generous, calling us to a new world, a new Jerusalem, a new reality, a new possibility, a place of hospitality, a place of blessing, a place of welcome. That's the whole story of the Sermon on the Mount. The most important thing about the Sermon on the Mount is it reveals the giver of the law, the new law. It's refreshing. Jesus breaks away prophetically from all the anchors of the institution of his time, and he said, I have a new gospel, a new statement, and I'll call people to celebrate their ideals. Be fearless. Be filled with faith. Take a risk. Step out. Make a statement. But make the statement a reflection of your belief in the God who is revealed in the Sermon on the Mount. It's marvelous. Possibilities are incredible. How if we took the Sermon on the Mount and we put it into flesh and blood, we would redefine so much that surrounds us, redefine our society, redefine our communities, our families, redefine our churches. We would lift up people, bless people, embrace people, forgive, understand. Wow. That's the New Jerusalem spoken about in the 21st chapter of the book of Revelation, the great moment of glory come to pass in the present age. Let that be our prayer. Let that be the ideal which leads us. We're going to celebrate marriage anniversaries in a moment. Marriage vows are any promise, a partnership, a close friend, the bonds which are sacred and fundamental to us, must include the Sermon on the Mount. They must include going the extra mile. There is no 50-50 in marriage. Did you ever try 50-50 in marriage? Well, I tried 50-50 in marriage. Somebody will tell me, but I think I was given 60 and you were given 40. Well, no, I thought I was giving 60. The ideals, the Sermon on the Mount, is what makes life meaningful and fulfilling. outside the enclosure, there is freedom, there is risk, there is danger, but there is faith which sustains us. The guarantee is that's where the true God dwells.